Were you ever caught completely off guard by something? Just something you weren't ready for? You know, I can think back to my college days and showing up to class a few times and caught off guard by the fact that it was test day. It was time to take a test that I just wasn't ready for because I didn't look at the syllabus, didn't pay attention to the syllabus, or, you know, I tried to cram at the very last hour and just wasn't ready for it. I remember certain days like that where I would just show up and go, oh no, today's test day. And I should have known because it was listed right there in the syllabus. But I also have another story of a time that I was caught off guard because I just simply couldn't imagine it happening. And the story goes like this. You know, Janine was pregnant with our second child. And, you know, we went to the doctor's visit. I went with Janine. And our doctor had one of those ultrasound machines right there in his office. And so he hooked my wife up to that. And, you know, we're looking at the image of our baby there, you know, very early on. And we got to listen to the heartbeat, this very cool experience. If you're, going to be a mom and dad, it's just a great thing. But this day went unlike anything I could have expected, because as we're looking at the ultrasound of this baby, right before the doctor said, you know, okay, you know, that's it. We'll see you guys next week, or, you know, see you guys next visit. He said in jest, kind of in jest, I'm going to look to just make sure there aren't two babies. And I remember laughing, going, oh, good one, doc. You know, that's funny. You got me. But he was saying it in jest. He definitely was. But at the same time, he really was going to check to see if there were two babies. And guess what he found? Two babies. Yes, a lot of you guys know us. We have identical twin boys who are 2.5 years old now. And thinking back to that day, my world was just blown up. I just couldn't imagine that day hearing the news that we were going to have identical twin boys. Just caught completely off guard. The biggest surprise of my life was that day. And I just couldn't imagine it. I couldn't imagine going to a doctor's visit expecting to have our second child and for him to say, you're having child 2 and 3 at the same time. It just rocked me. And, you know, it's an incredible blessing. Our boys are an incredible blessing to us. But just, wow, there was just nothing to prepare me for that news that we got that day. So we both were caught completely off guard by that. So in my first story, you know, I was caught off guard because I didn't pay attention. In my second story, I was caught off guard because I simply couldn't imagine that coming to fruition. You know, there's also a couple events in the history of mankind, you know, in the last 100 years that I've recalled in the last few days because I watched a documentary on one of them. I watched a documentary on when the United States bombed Hiroshima, Japan with the atom bomb, with a nuclear weapon. And I was just so captivated by this documentary because I couldn't believe that we actually dropped an atom bomb on another country. But we did, you know, and it was for us to try to basically tell Japan that, you know, we want out of this war. We want this war to be over. We're not going to fight any longer. Japan wasn't surrendering. And so we dropped a bomb on them, this massive nuclear weapon, a nuclear weapon that had never been dropped before or since. Well, actually, that's not true because they dropped a second one on a different town in Japan. But I'm watching this documentary and I'm watching it from the United States perspective and from Japan's perspective, and they're interviewing people. And one of the interviewees said this, one of the Japan interviewees said this, the day that the bomb was dropped in Hiroshima, it was like a perfect day weather-wise. You know, just a blue sky, the sun was shining, everybody's going about their lives. I mean, just kind of a perfect, crisp day. And that struck me because I've heard that before about another event. And it resonated in my mind going, wait a minute, where have I heard that before? And you know where I heard that before? remember when 9/11 happened in our country, in New York City and Washington? You know, we live only about 2 hours from New York City, so I remember that event very well. You know, I was like 21 years old when that happened. And I remember, and I've seen several documentaries on this, people said about that day that it was a perfect day. It was like, you know, blue skies, the sun was shining, everybody was going about their day. I mean, it just couldn't have been a more calm and perfect day. And in both events, that was said from people who experienced it. And in both events, something caught them completely off guard. Something so tragic, so catastrophic. And those are horrible things to think about, but it's going to lead into the scripture that I want to mention here from Matthew 24, if you have your Bibles. In Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking about an event to come. And it's kind of like these stories combined. He's telling us about something that is going to happen. So it's kind of like my first story, where there is a syllabus that is warning you of a coming event. But it's also like the other events, where you simply just can't imagine the outcome of this event. You really just can't picture what this is going to be like, and the fact that it's really going to happen to this degree. And I'm sure you can guess what I'm talking about. In Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about his second coming. You know, at this point, he's on the earth. He's about to go to the cross. He's about to leave this earth. But at this point in his life, he's telling his hearers, his disciples, about his second coming. And what's amazing about that is while he's telling this prophecy of this future event, he's also alluding back to an event that already happened. Anyways, if you have your Bible, it's Matthew 24, starting in verse 36. This is what Jesus says. He says, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were in the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in a field, one will be taken and the other one left. Two women will be grinding at a mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." You see, Jesus is talking about his second coming here, and he's warning his hearers of this coming event, because it's going to be one of these events that changes everything from that point on. When Jesus comes back to this earth, everything is going to change. Everything that we know is going to come to an end, and everything that is going to be eternal is going to come to a start. And so this is going to be an unbelievable event, an event like this has never happened in the history of time. But Jesus is, you know, prophesying about it. And the interesting thing to me is that while he's doing so, he compares it to an event that already happened. And you could, if you remember what he said here in verse 37, he said it's going to be like the days of Noah. And if you remember the story of Noah, it was very similar. You know, I said like an event like this has never happened before, but really that's not true, because it did happen similar like this in the days of Noah. See, in the days of Noah, Noah was commanded to build this mega structure, this ark, that was going to keep his family safe from the coming flood, the flood that God had, you know, warned his family of, and was going to destroy the world and everybody in it who wasn't righteous. And so Noah had to build this ark for like 100 some years, just this incredible act of faith that Noah did there. But Jesus is comparing his second coming to the days of Noah. And this is how he describes it in verse 38. "For as in the days of Noah, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark." Verse 39. "And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man." Isn't that amazing? Jesus is comparing his second coming to an event that already took place. A tragic event. An event that wiped off 99.9% of the world. when it happened. Only 8 people were saved, no one his family. And he's basically saying those people weren't ready. Those people were caught completely off guard. They were not ready for the flood to come. When the flood came, they weren't ready. They weren't in the ark. They weren't looking to God. And they died. And that was the end of most of humanity. And practically speaking, everything had to reboot at that point. And Noah had to start kind of like Adam and Eve had to start, as they had to repopulate the earth. And everybody else was killed. And these people, these incredibly amount of people, all died that day. They weren't ready. They were, you know, they were going about their lives. It says they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. You know, they were just going about their lives. And that's not necessarily bad things. It's just, they were just living as if every day was going to be the same. They were unaware of future events. They were unaware that something tragic could happen to them. And it was foolish of them. It was foolish not only because they just didn't imagine something tragic. I don't know if we're ever guilty for that. But, you know, they were foolish because they didn't heed God's warning. And imagine watching this man build this ark for hundreds of years. And questioning why he's doing such a thing. And Noah telling them, and who knows if this actually happened. It doesn't record it in scripture, but, you know, Noah's saying to them, listen, this is what's going to happen. God's going to bring this catastrophic flood, and I need to be inside of this ark with my family when it happens. But as far as we know, according to scripture, only 8 people listened to this warning, and everybody else was killed. Everybody else was caught off guard that day and died. And as I reflect on those two events that I talked about earlier on, where it said, you know, in Hiroshima, Japan, everybody was going about their days. The sky was perfect. The weather was perfect. Everybody was unaware until this unbelievable bomb landed on their homeland, and Japan has never been the same. Countless people died. Countless suffering. Everything changed. And then in 9/11, it was the same thing. 9/11, everybody's going about their day. It's a typical Tuesday morning. The sun is in the sky. The sky is a clear blue, cloudless sky. Just a perfect day. A perfect day to just live your life. And no one could have imagined that 2 planes would fly into the World Trade Center. And those towers would come down. And again, countless people would die that day. But again, you couldn't imagine that. How would you imagine that? Because for both of them, there really was no warning. In fact, that was the plan. To not give the people any warning. But here, Jesus is warning us. See, because Jesus is good. Jesus is loving. Jesus doesn't necessarily want us to be unaware. But he also reveals in Scripture, in this passage, that unfortunately many will be unaware. Because he says, just as in the days of Noah, people will be unaware of the second coming of Christ. They will be eating, they will be drinking, they will be marrying, they will just be having families and living their lives and going to work and doing their hobbies and just, you know, doing whatever they want, just living their lives. And it says that Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night. And I know what that's like because in Michigan, when we lived in Michigan, we were broken into twice. And both times when people broke into our house, it was a time that we weren't expecting anybody to come. The first time was Thanksgiving. You know, Thanksgiving, we were actually at Janine's parents' house, just having a good time, completely unaware that our house could be broken into. But it was. It was broken into on Thanksgiving. And, you know, they came in and did damage and took some things from us. And then the second time was we were on vacation. We're on vacation with my family here at New Jersey, and people broke into our house again and you know, went through our stuff and stole things. And in both times, I remember never giving it a thought that someone could break into our house while we were off having a good time somewhere else. But Jesus is warning us. He's warning his hearers. He's warning anybody who will take heed of this warning. I am coming back. And when I do, there will be many, many who are going to be unaware. Many who are going to be caught completely off guard by this, but you, Christian, should not be. In fact, that's exactly what he says. He says, verse 42, therefore, talking to his hearers, his disciples, therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. And then he alludes it to the thief coming in the night. He says, but know this, that if the master of the house had known at what part of the night the thief was coming, certainly he would have stayed awake and would not let his house be broken into. And what I've always thought was amazing, and I don't know what to do with it, is Jesus is compared to a thief who comes at the night when a family is unexpected so he can steal and rob them. And of course, it's not saying Jesus is a thief, but in this instance, in the second coming, it's going to catch so many people unaware, off guard, that's going to be like a thief who comes in the night. And thieves come in the night because they know they want to come at an hour no one's expecting them. It would be a foolish thief to come in the broad daylight when people are home and, you know, have their bearings, and that wouldn't be a good plan for a thief. So the thief waits. He waits until it's nighttime. He waits until people are asleep. He waits until people are on vacation. He waits until people are at Thanksgiving somewhere else. And then he attacks. He breaks in. And according to this, it doesn't sound like Jesus even knows when he's coming back. It says only the Father knows. Not the angels, nor the Son, but the Father only. But when Jesus does come back, it's going to be one of those days. It's going to be one of those days that you just never expect something catastrophic to happen, something mind-blowing to happen. And then it does. And Jesus is saying, stay awake. Stay awake, Christian. Don't be unaware. Don't be like the people who will be caught off guard. Don't just be living your lives and giving yourself to whatever hobbies and joy and desires you want to. Verse 44, he says, therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And it's a very simple application. The application is, if the thief comes in the middle of the night, and Jesus is like the thief who comes in the middle of the night, the only application is always be prepared. Always be ready. I mean, if you were knowing that a thief was going to come and break into your house, but you didn't know when necessarily, the only application was always be ready. Always be prepared. Never be caught off guard. And that's basically what he's telling us. Because if the Lord Jesus comes back and finds you asleep, you're in trouble. That is not a state you want to be in. And basically what that means is if you're asleep, you're asleep spiritually. You're not aware. You're not walking the way the Lord has taught you to walk. You're not waiting for and anticipating his coming. You're just living life. You're just living your life, going about your day, chasing your dreams, chasing your desires. And suddenly, the Lord comes, and it's judgment day. And it's time for eternity to start. And only those who are prepared are going to be the ones that enter heaven. Everybody else is going to be caught off guard. And it sounds like to some degree, Jesus even wants it that way. Because again, if there was a warning, even a small warning, even just a week or whatever, everybody would rush to prepare themselves. You know, they wouldn't live for Christ. They would just do what they ever had to do at the last second for the sake of themselves. And one of the reasons Jesus keeps us off guard, I think, is so that we always live the way we should live, that we never slumber. I mean, we're here, what, 70, 80 years, if you're lucky, in comparison to eternity, and we squander a lot of time. We waste a lot of time. We fill a lot of time with just meaningless stuff. But every day is valuable, and every day is a possibility that the Lord will come back. I mean, it's a possibility today that he won't come back. But what if he did? What if it was a perfect day? What if you're just going about your day, going about your business, chasing whatever you just normally chase, living how you just normally live, not really giving yourself to the will of God, not really giving yourself to the glory of God and to following Jesus Christ, obeying his commands, but just living your life, doing whatever people do, following the pattern of this world. And that day the Lord comes back and you're caught off guard. That would be the end. That would be a miserable day. And you don't want the second coming of Christ to be miserable. You want it to be an overjoying experience. So the only way to have that happen is to always be ready. Always be prepared. Always be practicing what the Lord has taught you to do. Be disciplined. Be obedient. Be faithful. Be enduring. So when the Lord comes back, you're not caught off guard. You're ready. I'm ready today. I'm ready tomorrow, Lord. I'm ready next week. I'm going to always do what you've taught me to do. And if I slumber, it's on me. So I hope that's a challenge to you, that we should always be ready as Christians, always be anticipating the second coming of Christ. Even today, let today be one of those days that we are faithfully following the Lord, faithfully giving ourselves to his word, faithfully loving those around us, faithfully obedient. And if the Lord comes back, praise him for it. We want it now more than ever. I think this world that we live in is a horrible world, and it's getting worse. But you also want to be ready. So heed the warning of Jesus. Do not be like those in the days of Noah that were completely swept away by the flood, but be like Noah, who prepared he and his family for the coming destruction and got inside the safety of the ark. And that ark for us is Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening.